You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, merry Marvelites, to our active XP review of Marvel's Avengers. This is the show where we review games, and we'll be giving a full deep dive into the storyline, combat, and the technical issues this game brings to the war table. I am joined by Joseph Yaden.
Hello, Chris.
Say hello.
Hi. Thanks for hosting. I'm not feeling too hot today, so I appreciate you taking the reins, and I can tell that you set this up because of all the little references. You always do that. And when you send emails to PR reps to request games and stuff, you always like throw in little sayings and stuff that relate to the game.
I like to do that just to make them laugh.
Right. What's that called?
And give it a bit of personality.
Is there a name for that? Mm. Is there a name? I don't know. It's like a... It's not like
I don't know. References?
I guess, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, hello.
But yeah, I'm glad we have assembled today.
God, they're right there. See? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll be talking about the game in full detail with a full review for this episode. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Just first thing we want to mention is that we received a review code of this from Square Enix. So thank you so much, Square Enix, for sending us a code.
That's
great.
Very nice of you. What else?
So first thing I want to ask you, Joseph, is what is your history with Marvel?
It's interesting because I actually have... I used to be really into it, like as a teenager, and like probably when I was like around 11 or 12 or so, I started really getting into it, and I loved the games, which is funny because like looking back, a lot of those games are really bad, but there's a couple that really stand out. Spider-Man 2, based off the movie, that still holds up, I think, and then Hulk Ultimate Destruction Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction. That game was really cool, and then I really enjoyed the Punisher game.
I never
made by Volition, I believe, the developer of Saints Row. Dude, this game, you have to look it up. It is crazy. It's like insanely over the top violent, and it's based off like the comics with a little bit of references to the 2005 movie or 2004 movie. And the main gimmick, other than it's like a third person shooter and stuff, is that you can interrogate enemies with the environment, and it's so hysterically over the top. Like, you're at this zoo and you like put this guy's head in the piranha pool to interrogate him, and it's like a little mini game. You have to look it up. It's so awesome, and like you can just use the environment to interrogate people, and there's like a combo system. Anyway, that game's really cool.
Sounds like Sleeping Dogs in a way,
a little bit,
which is interesting,
but yeah, not yeah, a little bit kind of. It's not open world, but anyway, yeah. So that I like the earlier movies in like the 2000s, like X-Men and the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, which I don't actually really love anymore. So I do have like a rich history with it, but I fell out of it, and like now keeping up with the MCU, I saw like one MCU movie, so I have no idea. So
right, and there's like,
yeah,
there's like films, there's gonna be TV shows soon.
Yeah, so I guess
so. It's gonna be a lot to
it's a lot,
and a book actually.
Oh god,
There's a book coming out too.
So yeah,
I think it's about Thanos. So
I guess you could say I'm like a lapsed fan, or like
right,
I fell out of it, and not because it's bad, it's just there's too much stuff. What about you, Chris? You're kind of a big Marvel fan, aren't you?
Oh, I love Marvel. I've loved Marvel since I was a kid. You know, I think my first love of Marvel came from the Raimi films.
Yeah.
That I've also fell in love with personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think they haven't aged very well.
No.
But I grew up with the Marvel games, like Spider-Man 2, for example, or the original Spider-Man, even.
Yeah.
I played Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2. Just the one, actually. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the concept of that, and I also played the X-Men Legends games. So, yeah, I love character action games, especially in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And I've also played, like, the weird ones, like Marvel Nemesis, Rise of the Imperfects.
Yeah.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do. It's a fighting
game.
Yeah,
it's so weird. It's like a dark...
Yeah, it's like on the rooftops. On the rooftops and stuff. Yeah, yeah. That's a cool game. I like that game.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played that on the PSP. Everything I could get my hands on. I loved that game for some reason. But yeah, I love the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I've watched every single film, and I'll be watching every single series. And I'm so excited for the Ms. Marvel series now after her introduction in this game, really.
Yeah.
I know she was in the comics before, but like it's her introduction to the mainstream, really.
And she's a bit of a newer character, if I'm not mistaken. At least Kamala Khan, from what I Googled. Like, a lot of these Marvel characters have been around for decades, right? But I think she's a little bit newer, right? If I'm not mistaken. Hope I'm not talking out my ass there.
I she is newer. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's cool. So going into this game, I wasn't like crazily excited. I think out of the three of us, you, me, and Josh, you were the most excited.
Oh
about
yeah.
It.
Oh yeah.
And so to me, it's different because there wasn't really a lot for me that I was expecting from it. There wasn't like this lineage of like, oh, I'm a Marvel fan, so excited. So I wonder how that would feel from someone like you who is a big fan of the series, and whether or not this game hit harder, or whether or not it disappointed you more, that sort of thing. I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing to think about.
At first I was apprehensive because the character models didn't look that great, and I didn't feel like the trailers really showed like a big promise of like a great in-depth story.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're playing it, you're realizing, holy shit, like they should have done so much better with the marketing on this and focused it on Ms. Marvel, because she's the new character. She's she's someone we haven't really seen before, like I said. And it's just interesting to see this different take on the Avengers and seeing new characters come up, you know?
What do you think went wrong with the marketing? Do you think it was like just a total oversight and like a mistake? Or do you think they like purposely didn't want to market Miss Marvel because she's not a white man with a rifle on the cover of a game? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, was it something like that? Or do you think it was just a big oversight? I personally don't know. I
think it's because it just feels like every other game, like from the trailers we saw, like we saw the same voice actors over and over again, you know, Laura Bailey, Nolan North, Troy Baker, you know? Like,
right.
And people were worried, just like, okay, how is this going to be different from what we've seen already in the Marvel Universe? Because it's so difficult to do anything other than, you know, to outdo the MCU, I guess, you know? Or maybe do your own spin on it, because everyone's so used to what Captain America's like or Iron Man's like, you know? Like,
yeah,
you can't beat Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually one of my complaints, I guess, is like, Iron Man kind of felt like Deadpool sometimes, like with his quips and stuff.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird.
Yeah, like joking
because it
joking
sounded
around.
Exactly like him. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's interesting.
So,
but yeah, I don't know. The marketing was just very strange. I feel like the marketing. This is an example. Like normally, marketing for a game will like overhype a game too much, and it's disappointing because it wasn't exactly what we were expecting. In this case, I feel like it's the other way around. I think the marketing did a terrible job, and the game is actually way better than what the marketing is, or what the marketing was at the time.
The A-Day footage was just disappointing, and we didn't really know exactly what the game was like, and it's not a really good representation of what it's like. I mean, I think, personally, unlike many other people, a games as a service game based on these Marvel characters is super engaging, super interesting to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we love these characters, we love playing as them, and we want to unlock moves with them, you know?
Yeah, see, or costumes or whatever.
Stuff they can do. Oh, costumes and stuff, and that had so much potential. But I feel like just a core problem with the game is that I wish they went one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
Because, yeah, the campaign is great, in my opinion, but the multiplayer lacks, you know? And if you want to keep an audience with the game, you gotta make sure the content's great, you know? Otherwise, people are just gonna drop it. You know, first impressions are so important.
Yeah.
So important. But I do think there's a chance for this game to evolve and gain a new audience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Rainbow Six Siege or...
Yeah.
You know, No Man's Sky or
right.
whatever, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about the single player portion, because I think that's where most people are probably going to start. You actually can start with the multiplayer first, but the game
don't recommend.
Yeah, the game warns you that there's like spoilers and stuff. So developed by Crystal Dynamics, and I think although they're known for their Tomb Raider games, and this is totally different, at least presentation wise, it actually still feels kind of Tomb Raider-ish at points.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
You look at it and you're like, okay, yeah, totally. I can see that this is the next step for them. Yeah, it makes sense. Like, there are little puzzles here and there and the sort of, like, traversal of the environment, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's interesting. But, yeah, in terms of the narrative, it kicks off. And I gotta say, the opening of this game is, like, one of my favorite openings in a video game ever.
Yes.
So, we're gonna spoil a little bit of the intro here, but it's within the first, like, half hour or so. Yeah, so you play as, like, a younger version of Kamala Khan, and she's going to this... Essentially, it's kind of like a convention, right? I forget what they call it in...
It's a contest.
Yeah.
It was a contest for, like, people who wrote, like, fan fiction and stuff.
Yeah,
like.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. And she got to go there and meet the Avengers. And
yeah.
And the comparison I made, and I think I talked about this before, but it felt like being at E3, or like... how she perceived it to be, that's what it seemed like. Mm-hmm. And going to E3 or, you know, big conventions where there's a lot of huge games there and stuff, it's really like, it's like sensory overload, but it's awesome, right? And you get to meet all these people you look up to, and that's sort of how she seemed like she was perceiving mm-hmm. it. It was really cool. So I really loved that portion. And getting to meet the Avengers, and they all seemed like real people, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and it immediately settled my distress with the game, I guess. It's like, are these characters going to be likable?
Right.
And immediately, yes, they are.
Yeah.
Just from their interaction with Kamala, how nice they are to her, and, like, how, you know, how they brought a good message to her, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just nice. Like, it's infectiously... infectiously makes you smile
right.
about the game and the intro, and yeah, it gives a good first impression.
Right. So then after the events of A-Day there, that happened there, which is this big sort of disaster, basically like the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge collapses and all this stuff.
Yeah. That was an awesome segment, by the
yeah.
way. Lots of good cinematic moments. We've seen already, but I think they kind of elevated it since we last saw it in E3 and
right.
all those kind of like gameplay demos.
And what was really cool that I thought the game did is that it let you play as every one of the Avengers at the beginning. So that way you sort of get a taste of them, and it sort of sets your expectations for the remainder of the game. And it seeps in right away, you know? And so then as you play the game and you start to get more time with each of these characters, you're like, oh, I already remember this from the beginning. This is familiar. And it's like, I think it's a good way to do that. I thought that was smart. And then, yeah, so Kamala, basically her job is to reunite the Avengers. And what was interesting is that you don't get to switch between the characters in the story really that much. You do a little bit, but for the most part, they're like designated, like, this is the Black Widow section, this is the Iron Man section, and you go through and you spend, you know, a couple hours with each of them. And so by the time you get to the end of the game, you're like pretty well rounded, I feel like, with all of these characters, and you've spent enough time with them to sort of maybe pick out which one your favorite is. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. What did you think of the intro and the sort of the overarching narrative of Kamala, like, trying to bring everybody together?
Yeah, it's an excellent coming of age story. It's great. She's super funny, engaging.
Yeah.
She's an awesome character, and it's a great introduction to what the hero's like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a great backdrop for the Avengers as well, you know, because like you have this coming of age story within a bunch of a cast of characters we already know, you know?
Yeah.
So it's awesome. I think the comedic timing, especially between Bruce and
and Kamala,
you know, yeah. And Kamala is great.
Yeah.
Especially during that scene where like she's drinking the soda.
Yeah.
Or like trying to put her own like pop music on, and he's like, nope.
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah. So it's great.
It felt like a movie, you know, like those segments. I feel like felt like a movie. So I thought that was really cool. And although the voice actors are ones that we've heard, what feels like hundreds of times, because they're in every game ever.
It's still outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's why they're there, right? Like they're really good at what they do. So I thought the performances were great. So my problem, I guess, with the Avengers, or I'm sorry, with the Marvel movies, is that I just feel like I guess for me, I feel like the stories are kind of predictable, and this was too, but I kind of expected that. It wasn't like I was disappointed that I didn't get some mystery spy thriller, right?
Yeah.
So.
But it's also like you get that gameplay with it too. Yeah. It's not just the predictable story.
Yeah.
You get more of the gameplay elements. You get more kind of like chatter between the two or three or four characters. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Totally fair.
And then you get the boss fights as well, which I thought were great.
Yeah.
Their final boss fight was super interesting, I think, and it involved every single character,
right.
Just like A-Day, which I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
It really seemed like they were coming together, and that was a great conclusion because they were all separated, you know, they're trying to figure out each other again, and I think in that final mission they were like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
I do think with the story though, I feel like Captain America and Thor, it was the other four. Yeah, they were a little bit underdeveloped.
Yeah, I do too,
in my opinion.
Well, because
I wish they had more story to them,
right.
I guess. And
I
guess later on they'll do more with them, but right now I'm just like, man, I wish Thor and Captain America had more to them.
Right, and the problem with that, and we're going to spoil a little bit here, Captain America is perceived to be dead for most of the game.
But he's not. We all know he's not, because he's in the marketing material.
Obviously, right.
So there's no suspense there. It's just like, okay, he's gonna show up,
right? So but that's why we don't really get much time with him until like the very end. And then Thor is just a god from another planet or whatever his deal is. He's like not on Earth a lot, right? So a lot of the story is from the perspective of Kamala, who is on Earth, and I don't know what he's doing. He's out in space flying around. What's his deal? Is he in another dimension?
He's an Asgardian prince, so he's in a different realm.
Oh, a different realm. Okay, whatever.
Yes.
So I don't know what that means. But fair enough. He's not around Earth. But yeah, I'm with you on that. But yeah, overall I think the single player was really strong. And to your point earlier, if you wish they would have gone one way or another, yeah, in an alternate dimension, there's a version of this game that is just a tight, you know, 10 to 20 hour single player mm-hmm. game, and that's it. And the problem with video games nowadays is that you can't really sell that, or at least
it's unfortunate.
People aren't as likely to buy something like that, with exceptions here and there. Yeah, like if you want to make money, you have to have your games as service with your microtransactions and all that. So it's unfortunate, but I really think there was strong potential there for this story, the single player, to be even better. But what was there, I thought, was way better than I expected.
I think it was the best it could have been.
Yeah.
With the situation they were dealt. I do think like some of the microtransactions kind of seeped into the campaign in a way.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, you can upgrade your gear and upgrade your accessories and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't give a crap. I just want to play the game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And
you don't have to do too much of that stuff. You have to, like, you can hold L2 down and you can get the best gear that you currently have on your character, but, like, you know, I just, it's just, if you want to make that like a main gameplay component, you really want to make that engaging, and it's just not.
Yeah. So what about the combat? I think the combat's a good,
yeah,
a good thing to discuss. There's a lot going on with the combat, and God, I don't even really know where to start. So I guess each character has their own sort of abilities, as you would expect. They all sort of follow the same format, though. There's like a sort of long range attack, a close range, or like a heavy, whatever. And then they have like their super move or whatever it's called. I'm butchering the names of everything, but you get what I'm saying. And so they all have like the same format. So even though like you don't know what a character's specific move might be, you sort of know, okay, this is the heavy move, this is the light attack, that sort of thing. I thought it was really cool. I think this is the best it could have been, honestly. Like, without it getting into like really complicated like fighting game territory, which obviously you don't want something like that.
No.
I thought it was complex enough to make you feel like you have a lot of variety, but not overly complicated to where you're just like, I don't know what button does what.
And I feel like the combat was hard to market for Square Enix as well, because I feel like when you're playing it, it feels good.
Right.
You know, you can feel like Thor's hammer striking someone with the vibration of your controller, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like all of that felt great. I feel like there's a few things that kind of stagger the combat, like the frame rate.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to later. But I do like the general foundation of it, you know, like avoiding attacks, just the right amount of time to do like another follow-up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the specials and all the moves that each character does kind of fits what they do, and you know, it matches like their personality, and
right,
yeah, I think it really works. Mm-hmm. You know, my one thing though is that when you're in like a four player kind of raid against like a big boss, it kind of feels different to the campaign, I guess, where it's like less impactful. It's more like, oh, just lay down all your attacks, it's a bullet sponge, just fucking go at it, you know?
Right.
I wish there was more to it than that. I don't know how you could fix that for people at the same boss at the same time, but I do feel like when the actual campaign sections, like that first fight against Taskmaster, and then the end boss fight, mm-hmm, were particularly really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And in terms of the moves, I thought they all felt good. Like, it felt good to strike an enemy or dodge or whatever the case might be. So I think they nailed that portion of it. The upgrade system, I think, is really, I guess it's not disappointing. It's a fine upgrade
system.
It's
what you expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a standard upgrade system. So that's fine. Nothing.
And they do have helpful effects. And I forgot to mention this as well. It's like, I love how each character has their kind of quirks. Like, for example, Thor's hammer, like if you leave it on the ground against like an enemy, it stays there.
Yeah.
You know? So someone else can like beat the crap out of the enemy as like the hammer's like stuck on him. You know?
Oh yeah.
So it's cool stuff like that that they've included and makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. And I really love the Kamala Khan special where she gets really big, and she's just like towering over everybody. It's so funny because she's the young character, right? She's the baby of the group, and then yet her special is her growing into this giant being, and especially at the end, holy moly.
Yeah.
Where she's like
the... No spoilers, but...
Well, okay, I won't spoil it. But yeah, the ending is really cool. So yeah, combat's good. Again, not marketed very well. Very strange. What about the visuals, Chris? What do you think? That was something...
Here's the thing. I think this game was meant to be a PS5 and Xbox Series X game.
Oh, interesting.
I really feel that way. The models look outstanding. I thought the effects are great. And this is a real AAA kind of title. Quadruple A, as people put it.
don't say that, guys. Please.
You shouldn't acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like when it gets super hectic with like multiple moves going on, the game can't cope.
Right.
Especially on the PS4 and Xbox One, you know. There's just too much going on. It lags to like 10 frames, 15 frames.
Oh, wow.
It's almost unplayable, you know?
Wow. I never...
I'm playing on the normal PS4. I think you're on the Pro, right?
Interesting. Yeah, I was just going to say, I did notice some little hiccups here and there, but that's...
It's bad.
But I guess here's the thing, though. I noticed some stuff here and there, but I was almost like kind of looking for it because I had my review mode turned on. When you say that it's slowed down to 10 frames a second, I really don't recall that.
Yeah, on my PS4, yes.
Interesting. So
because you have a Pro, right?
Yeah, I do.
And I have a normal PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it struggled. It chugged.
Interesting. Okay. So for the listeners who maybe are thinking about getting this, if you have a regular like slim PS4, maybe this game is gonna run like shit for you.
Maybe. I do feel like when you're doing single player missions, it's better.
Right.
It's more optimized.
Yeah.
But when it goes more like open world, that's when it gets a bit messy. Yeah. So, but like, if you do get the PS4 version of the game, there is a free upgrade to the PS5 version.
Yeah.
And vice versa for the Xbox. So there's that. So if you don't enjoy the performance of the game, you can wait until the PS5 and then you're all good.
I love how you said that. I don't enjoy the performance of this game. I like the idea of somebody saying that. Yeah. Interesting. That's really funny.
I'm ridiculous. I'm a ridiculous person.
That's really funny that, or maybe not funny, but I think it's interesting that we had such different experiences with the performance solely based on the hardware we had. And that makes sense, I guess, but you don't generally hear about that too often.
Yeah.
Where it's like that big of a difference. I mean, I gotta say, I really don't recall it slowing down to 10 frames a second, but I believe you.
It could have been like 15, 20.
Yeah.
I might be over exaggerating, but it really felt like that. Especially with a game that's focused on combat, you know, that's kind of important to be able to play it properly
sure.
and be able to react to what's going on screen.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I think visually it's great. And what's interesting is when it was first revealed at E3, what was that, 2019, people were pissed about the models, right? But yeah, they changed them and now they're like,
they look good.
Yeah, they look fine. Like they don't look like the MCU characters. And I think that's sort of like messing with people or that it was when it was first revealed. But yeah, I think it's totally fine visually, barring any frame rate problems or anything like that. You ran into some glitches, right?
Yes.
Again, I don't recall any glitches. Like I'm racking my brain trying to think of even like a minute little thing, and I really don't remember that.
I'm really glad you had that experience.
I really don't.
Honestly.
And maybe it's my shit memory, which is bad for the listeners, I guess, but I really feel like I would remember like a big glitch. But anyway, what happened on your end?
I had a few glitches. So the game wasn't loading the enemy at points, so I had to reload the checkpoint while I was online, so there's that. The characters kind of, like, move unrealistically online. There's, like, laggy movement. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess.
It really takes you out of it.
Right.
It really does, because, like, you can see them almost, like, T-posing, I guess, as
right.
they're moving from place to place. Like, it's just super odd.
Huh.
And the character wasn't loading in the cutscene. Like Ms. Marvel, she didn't appear during a pivotal scene.
Oh, that's
like,
fucked.
In the end, almost. So it was like, near the end, like just before the final mission, right?
Oh, in the story mode. This was in the story mode?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. No. Okay.
So I had to reload the checkpoint. I was like, please don't make me skip that cutscene. Please, please, please. And thankfully, it was all good.
Okay.
And then. The matchmaking's bullshit.
It's like weird. I don't know yeah. if the problem is that there aren't many people playing this game or if the matchmaking is just garbage. I want to say that it's a combination of both because I haven't really heard any like positive sales buzz about this game.
It's a Marvel game, so it should have sold really well.
I know, but you always hear like, you know, within a short time period of a game being out, you'll usually, if it does well, you'll hear, you know, it sold X amount of copies in X days. And you didn't really hear that with this. I'm looking it up now just to make sure I'm not spewing bullshit, but I don't know that this game sold very well. Yeah.
Okay, its peak players were 28,145. Average players are about 7,463 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not very good.
Well, I mean, really? It's good.
PC.
That's good, I guess, in and of itself. But when you look at games like Spider-Man or even like Tony Hawk, I know that's like unrelated. But my point is that recent games that have come out, you always hear about it when it does well commercially. And in this case, you didn't. Yeah. So that says to me that like, I don't know that there are that many people playing this game. I was able to find people when I played, but it did take a minute. And
yeah, it took a while.
Yeah, and certain missions, I guess, were harder than others to find people for. I remember you told me recently that like you just let it sit there for a while, and you just never did find anybody. Did you eventually get to play with people?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I eventually did. I had like a 4-hour session with some randos and.
Oh, okay, so, that's cool. And how was
it's,
that?
It's fun. Yeah, like when you finally get to it, you know. It feels rewarding actually getting the gear and seeing that power level go up, you know? I've really got into it for like a week or two or something.
Interesting. You know? So yeah,
And I'll be getting back to it soon once there's more content. I do feel like... Let's move to the multiplayer, I guess.
I was just going to say, that's a great time to talk about the multiplayer. So the game is split up into two sections. There's the single player narrative section that we just discussed.
Yeah.
And then there's this totally separate section that you can bring your characters over from the single player component. What's it called? Avengers Initiate or something like that?
Initiative. Yes.
Okay. And it's the games as a service portion where there are these like rotating missions that are available some days and then they go away other days. You just sort of go through and you unlock new gear, that sort of thing. This is sort of where the game fell apart for me. And I was like kind of expecting that, honestly. I was like, there's no way they're gonna pull this off. It's like not bad, it's just there's not a lot there, and I really don't think the two mesh well together. What do you think?
They don't.
Yeah
they don't. I just feel like I was talking about how power levels are really satisfying to evolve, but I wish there were like cosmetics that would really pull people in, you know. Think about like different events where it could be like, oh, this is the Marvel's Avengers Endgame event where you could get Endgame costumes and stuff. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like that, you know. Like, there's no weekly events to really pull you in. It's just like gear that you'll never see on your character.
And that's what I was wondering about.
Yeah.
Prior to this game coming out, I'm like, okay, this could work. That's the thing. This idea, totally in my head, it makes sense. I'm like, this could work. How are they going to do the gear, though? Like, for example, in Destiny, which is, like, the most popular games of loot-based, that sort of thing. When you get a new piece of gear, your character is wearing that piece of gear. In this game, it's like they couldn't figure it out. They, like, just don't even... It's like this invisible. What even is it? It's like this imaginary piece of gear that goes. What is?
It's not there.
It's not there, but it's you can.
It's like Under Armour. It's like.
It's just so strange, and I guess in my head, like, there's a lot of different ways you could have gone about doing it, and this is not the best way, I don't think.
No. Yeah. And yeah, it's just I don't know. It feels like the foundation is there, like, for a really good game.
Yeah.
Like, the combat's excellent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could definitely evolve the characters, and it could be, like, the next evolution of Marvel Ultimate Alliance, where you can play as your favorite characters in, like, a fun gameplay setting where, like, you can turn your brain off and, make it a podcast game or whatever.
Yeah.
And then each of the characters can have, like, different kind of, like, lines against each other, and they could make fun of each other. There's so much potential there, and we could see that at the end of the campaign where like all the Avengers are together and they're having all this fun dialogue between each other. It's just I don't know, it's just a huge shame that they weren't able to figure this out, because I do think there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Crystal Dynamics have the chops to actually do it, but
yeah,
for some reason
It's, I mean, yeah, they... I think it has to do with time constraints. Square wanted this game out by holiday. Well, actually, Square wanted this game out by summer, and they pushed it. I want to say, I think the in-game economy is absolute horseshit.
Garbage.
It's like horseshit, dude. Yeah. So, like, basically, each character has their own battle pass, basically. And for those who don't know, the battle pass, it's kind of like in Fortnite or Warzone or whatever, where you level up, and each level, you get a new piece of gear.
But an important distinction is that you don't actually pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly in the game.
Right.
I think it's called the challenge card or something.
Something like that, like yeah. That. But anyway, you have to do so much to get currency. Like, there isn't enough in the game for me to want to play that much.
So, I played, like, 20 hours of it, and I'm only, like, a quarter of the way to get, like, a cosmetic. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's...
What?
And, like, obviously they want you to buy it. I get that. But other games do that so much better, and they make money. Like, Fortnite, is a great example. Or even Warzone, whatever. They do it right.
Warframe,
yeah. All these games that totally have that balance right, where if you don't want to buy stuff, no problem. Go ahead and play, and it's free, and you can get all the stuff eventually. It's going to take you a little bit of time. But in this game, there's just not enough there to warrant, like, 100 hours per character to get some cosmetics. It's absolute horseshit. They need to fix it.
Do you think it would have been a better business model to just make single-player content? Like, do you think they could have had, like, here's a Hawkeye mission, here's, a Black Panther mission, and then you could play all those characters within, like, a simpler kind of, like, multiplayer mode? I don't know. That would have
maybe
made more sense.
Maybe. I don't know. The thing is I don't know how well this game is doing, but like I said, since I haven't seen anything on it, my assumption is that it's not great. But yeah, the multiplayer, I don't know, man. Like, here's the deal. If you're gonna get this game specifically to keep coming back and playing it, you know, for the multiplayer component, you might want to wait. If you're just looking for, like, a game that you can play through the single-player mode, maybe try out the multiplayer, but mostly you want to just play the narrative or get through the narrative, then you'll probably like it. I don't know if it's worth $60 just for the narrative portion. Maybe. It's got really...
Because it's a little repetitive.
It is a little bit.
It's a smidge.
But it's got really high production value. I don't know.
It does.
What is it, like 10 hours or so? 8 hours? Something like that? Yeah. I don't know. It's tough to say.
I wouldn't even go there. I think it would probably be around 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the multiplayer component, it's going to be probably another No Man's Sky situation or Rainbow Six situation where maybe eventually it gets really good. I don't know.
So what can it do to, you know, fix itself? What can it do to get it right?
Yeah. So I think what they need to do, first of all, they need to fix the in-game economy. Because I don't even want to play it. Like at that point, like the whole point of the gear and loot system is to keep unlocking new loot and new cosmetics and new stuff. In this game, it's just like literally, it's only for the numbers to go up, and for the whole cosmetic portion, since that is like essentially broken in my opinion, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't even want to play it. So I think that's
to me the only reward was like the little story moments. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a moment between Ms. Marvel and Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, that's sweet. But it was saying like 5 seconds. Shit.
So yeah, that's the thing you have to nail with this loot progression system. You have to nail wanting to come back and to keep playing. And so how do you fix that? Fix the economy. Fix the whole, like, loot system the money, I guess, to buy the cosmetics. Fix that. And then, yeah, the other thing that I think a lot of games do better is the sort of limited time events or, like, you know, ever-changing events that, you know, 1 week there's this thing, 1 week there's this thing, it's limited time, that sort of thing. Warzone does a great job of that. Fortnite, obviously, does a great job of that. Things where you're like, okay, I have to check in this week because it's the only time I'm going to be able to whatever.
The thing I learned from a NoClip documentary about the creation of Warframe is that they were told that they had to have a lot of content, like, in a roadmap, right? So they had to be ready for whatever comes. And I don't think Crystal Dynamics was really ready for it, you know, with the just the limited kind of maps they have, the repetitive gameplay, you know, and like very few bosses. Like they even like I found it kind of ridiculous that they included like, okay, this story element is like, these are copies of the bosses you've already fought.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a bit desperate. I was like, whoa. Well, yeah, so, okay. So this is a copy of the Abomination.
Right.
Or Taskmaster. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And what I think happened here is I think what this game started out as is not what it ended up being, or something to that effect. I think there was some sort of, like, mishandling of the production, like timeline maybe, and maybe the time limit they were given, stuff like that, because I don't think this is really Crystal Dynamics' fault. I think
yeah, they needed more time.
I think Square Enix said, you need to make this, and Crystal Dynamics was like, all right, and they did their best, and then Square Enix was like, no, you need to do this though, and they're like, all right, and then they added the games of service stuff. And like it just sort of like was built on top of each other like that. I you can tell that it's two separate things that are kind of mashed together. It doesn't feel like it's fluid.
It's like the time when every game had to have a multiplayer mode. Like,
right.
Remember Spec Ops: The Line?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Had an
exactly.
Story mode, and then there was like this multiplayer tacked on.
Right.
You know, it's kind of ridiculous, and this is the same way. I just wish it chose to be a game of service instead.
Yeah.
You know, all the way, if they wanted to keep this going.
Right.
I love the story mode, don't get me wrong. You know, that's the best part of the game. But I wish they chose one or the other.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that the part that is, like, lacking is the multiplayer part. That can be evolved over time. So, like,
yeah.
So like that's a good thing. It's just, I guess I have this problem with a game coming out and like we're supposed to just be like, all right, we'll wait for it to be good. I don't know, like that just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
It goes against the way my brain is wired. Like, all right, it's probably gonna be better later. Like, I don't know, it's weird.
I also feel like it's less likely to succeed because it has like this barricade of the campaign or the multiplayer, you know?
Yeah.
So like people have to go through the 10-hour campaign to or 7 hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To really experience the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of like, well, shit, like if they're not interested in the campaign, then they're not going to be back for the multiplayer, you know? And
yeah,
that's going to be less players.
Yeah, it's really strange. So there's a lot that's wrong with this, but it's so strange because there's so much that it does right as well.
Yeah, and it's maddening. It's maddening. It's like games like this just maddening to me. It's like, I like the game. Why can't it be supported properly? Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, anything else? The music? Didn't you want to touch on the music? I don't really have anything meaningful to say about the music.
Yeah. I'm the weird guy who always mentions the music for some reason. But, yeah, it was kind of repetitive at some points, like especially during missions where there's a lot of action. It repeats like this 15-second loop that was just getting on my absolute nerves. I had to turn off the music.
Oh, really?
Get through it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. I don't know that a lot of people would mind that. I don't know.
I know. I'm just weird. I don't like repetitive stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to keep that out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So, yeah, that was it, really. I feel like it was a bit generic, just like the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that kind of matches, you know, but, you know, it would have been nice to have, like, a big, kind of, like, orchestral, kind of, like, you know, soundtrack or score to it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but are you gonna play it at all? Do you think the Hawkeye DLC is going to...
I'm
interest you enough?
Yeah, so let's talk about, you know, the what's to come. So there's Hawkeye that's coming in, and then there's the other version.
Kate Bishop?
Yeah, I didn't even know who that was, but also she's like a version of Hawkeye, I guess. I don't know. She's like...
It's not a really good character to lead off with, I think.
Yeah,
it's
really
not very
strange.
Exciting.
Yeah. And then obviously Spider-Man on PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I'll definitely check out Spider-Man.
I... Here's the thing. I think they're going to introduce like this big update with Spider-Man. Yeah. I think they're going to try and fix stuff with the game and then try to relaunch it in a way.
Right.
Now, we've seen a lot of games service do that.
I don't think it's as bad as like Anthem or it. Like there are games that definitely have done this worse. But to your point of like relaunching it, I don't know if it's going to be like that exact terminology, but I'm with you. Yeah, I think they're going to have like a major update that's going to overhaul a lot of the problems people have with it. And it was so funny because the other day we mentioned this on the regular show, but you said something. You were like, why are they bragging about having 1,000 things that were updated? they had an update where they were like, we fixed 1,000 things in
the game.
It's
a bad look.
And everybody was like, yeah, or a lot of people were like, yeah. And Chris, you were like, why are they shouldn't say that? That's not good. Why are there 1,000 things that are broken?
They should have just waited for the PS5 release. If anything, they really should have.
Yeah,
but you know.
So where does it go from here? I mean, there's a lot of potential. There's a lot. I imagine like this game has the potential to be so good, and if it's supported properly, you know, to the extent of something like a Warzone or whatever, Fortnite. I think it has the potential to be really awesome. I don't actually think it's going to get to that point. And the way the characters are, how they just sort of like bring out a new character every now and then, are they going to change the missions? Like if it's the same missions over and over again, just with a different character, I don't know that that's enough to motivate me to keep playing. And I imagine they'll have new missions, but
I would like to see small story elements to the multiplayer.
Right.
I think that would really draw me in. Yeah, the story is the most important thing to me in that game.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to see that and see how AIM kind of, like, moves on past the events of the first game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to see, like, special bosses show up, like Thanos, for example, or, like, Ultron.
Yeah.
Villains like that are, like, just appear.
Right.
Out of nowhere.
Sort of like your dungeons or your raids, and they're at the end of the raid, that sort of thing. I think they need to look at Destiny, and I know Destiny is like I don't want to say generic. Destiny is not generic, but it's like it's a game that is it's easy to copy, I guess. So maybe they shouldn't look exactly at everything they do, but sort of for like a guideline of look at what works with Destiny and sort of do that a little bit. I think that would work.
Hmm. I think they might have to look at Fortnite as well.
Or Fortnite, yeah.
Because I think it would be amazing, like, if the Marvel world is just changes all the time. You know, like, in the world of comics, like, anything can happen. So I'm thinking, like, what if there's, like, you're doing something, and then you see a cutscene where, like, Thanos is bringing down his fists or something onto the ground, or he just appears and he's a big threat in the world, or like some world changing kind of event that happens.
Yeah, an in-game event, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tease Loki.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. So I guess for now, I would say unless you're a massive Marvel fan,
mm-hmm.
and unless you're just looking for a tight narrative experience, I would probably wait. This game right now is for somebody who is just looking for a narrative, you know, a tight narrative, short narrative, or who is just like real, like crazy into Marvel. I think those are the two people this game is for. If it were me, I wouldn't have bought this game. Like knowing what I know now, I would have regretted my purchase. But as with a lot of games like this, it will probably be a lot better a year, 2, 3, 4 years from now. That's kind of where I'm leaving it. What about you?
The campaign honestly is one of my favorite games this year, personally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that story progression within Kamala Khan and her like storyline.
Right.
I thought that was great. And then just like the chemistry between all the different Avengers, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the gameplay doesn't hold up. Like for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's just repetitive. And like if it is repetitive, you want to make that like worthy of your time, and it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And the combat's good. The combat's really good.
Right.
But it's in the bad game, or like a bad multiplayer game, right. At least.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm with you. They have the makings to turn this around, I think. And I think I think at the very least it'll be pretty good at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to rephrase that. It's not a bad game. It's a mediocre game. And you can't get away with that in this day and age.
Right. Especially when there are so many others competing for your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much all I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going a bit long. I apologize for that. I haven't hosted for a while.
You're all right.
And you kind of took over a little bit.
That's all right. So
reined me in.
Yeah. It's hard. Hosting is hard. So yeah, thank you Square Enix for sending us a copy.
Thank you.
We're hoping it's changed within a year or so, and I'm at least like optimistic for what it's gonna look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to love the game. I really do.
Yeah.
I desperately want to love the game, but it's just like it's not there. Yeah. It's not there.
It's not there. It's not. I'd rather play Warzone.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I'm about to go play Warzone. So, do you want to play? Do you want to jump on a couple games?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay, cool.
I'm down. Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up, Chris.
So, Joseph, where can people find you?
You can find me. Oh, it's so weird, me going first. I'm like, I'm normally like the chef. I eat last. You know.
Yeah.
That's a weird analogy. Anyway. You can find me on Twitter at Joseph Yaden. You can find me on Digital Trends, covering a lot of Fortnite, just so much Fortnite. Game Skinny, I'm reviewing Crash Bandicoot 4 for Game Skinny, so that's exciting.
Nice.
And The Escapist as well. And then I guess we're both playing a lot of this Genshin Impact game that we're covering as well, so you can look forward to
Surprise
that.
Surprise hit of the year.
Yeah. So that's where you can find me. What about you, Chris?
You can find me at Penwell Writes on Twitter. You can find my written work at The Gamer and Tech Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also read an article I have coming up on Game Grooves, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a music label for video game covers. So
of course.
It's a really cool
place
to write for.
And what about your, don't you have a little podcast you host? What's this podcast?
Yes.
Pod? Remind us.
I have a little podcast. And you know, you're into hero stuff, probably, if you listen to this. So make sure you go listen to Go Beyond on my Hero Academia podcast each and every Wednesday.
Okay.
With Vaughn Hyde, a friend of the show. We talk about My Hero Academia. Each episode, and it's more of a rewatch series, so if you haven't watched it before, don't listen, because we talk about lots of spoilers, and like we talk about like the hidden context of interactions within the show, and like references. Get super nerdy, go listen to it, it's great.
You guys are nerds. All right, Chris, appreciate your time, appreciate everybody listening, and I think that we're about wrapped up. What do you think?
Yeah, we're wrapped up. Just make sure you follow us at Active Quest Show and listen to the main podcast every Monday.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.